Support for the homemade broadcast on Sunshine 96.7 FM WMTB comes from Truvie Salon and Spa in St. Petersburg. Located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvie Salon and Spa offers hair care products and salon services by appointment only. Find out more about Truvie Salon and Spa at their website, truviesalonandspa.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
We found our rhythm. We got on a roll. Not a lot of people, think that we could have won. And in fact, I think about 40% of the people still don't think we won.
I understand that.
You understand that, Mr. President?
I understand that.
Yeah. And personally, you know, it's nice for me to be back here. We had a game in Chicago where I forgot what down it was. I lost track of one down in 21 years of playing. And they started calling me Sleepy Tom.
Why would they do that to me?
Beach Drop Bar Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSanctity.com.
RadioCP.com presents the Homemade Broadcast.
See, this is good news for Will.
Why? What do you mean?
That is a tweet that it would be very believable that Galvin would write it. I think I know Galvin's style a little bit better. That's why I didn't think it was him. Definitely a tweet that I would write, and it was Will. So it leads me to believe that Will is the next generation of greatness on this radio station.
How do you like that?
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
This is Mayor Rick Kreisman, and you're listening to the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio, on RadioSaintPete.com, HMBRadio.com, Sunshine 96.7 FM in downtown St. Petersburg. My name is Will Coons. Welcome back to the program. That was Tom Brady at the beginning there. Our own adopted son, Tom Brady, honorary Florida man. Talking to President Joe Biden at the White House this week. Stopped by there, made some jokes. Told everybody to go get vaccinated. And celebrated the championship of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Oh my God, they must have been so hot in their suits. Everybody wore a suit. It's weird how athletes... You know, they used to just dress like Allen Iverson and Tim Duncan, you know, cargo shorts, you know, some Rockaware, a big T-shirt. Then something happened where they all got very fashion conscious. And some of them overdo it. Cam Newton for the New England Patriots now, the quarterback there, dresses like a lady. He seriously dresses like an old woman from a Madea movie. But a lot of them are very sharp dressers, these guys. You know, obviously Tom Brady's a very sharp dresser. He's a kind of an honorary model almost. He's in the biz. He's married to Gisele Bündchen, who's the most famous model of them all, I guess. But yeah, all sharp dressers. Poor Bruce Arians was up there, just beat red. I don't know if that was the sun that got to him. You know, I'm sure he's playing a lot of golf right now, and enjoying the off season as the Buccaneers prepare to start training camp. Actually, this coming week, I believe it's this week. This coming week, or it might have been the booze. I don't know. I know he likes to drink quite a bit, so it might have been the Crown, which makes his head look like a vodka cranberry. And a very large glass of vodka cranberry as well. But they did go visit the White House. They talked to Joe Biden. Here's some video and audio of President Biden welcoming the Bucks.
We're here today to congratulate and welcome to the White House the Super Bowl champion, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. To the players, the coaches, and the Glazer family, my good friends, it's an honor to have you here. We have to say that the fans down in Western Florida are having a pretty good year this year. I tell you, you know, the Stanley Cup and in addition to the Super Bowl. But, you know, we're making a pretty strong case to start calling Tampa the City of Champions. And this Buccaneer team is a testament to the fact that it's never too late to come together and achieve extraordinary things. Three quarters of the way through the season, they found themselves in the middle of the pack. 7 wins and 5 losses. But this is a team that didn't fold and always got up, dug deep. They won their last 4 games of the season and then stormed through the playoffs, winning on the road in Washington, New Orleans, and Green Bay, and capping it all off back home in Tampa to become the first team to win the Super Bowl on their home turf. And a decisive victory against the defending champs, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, true that, Joe. Finally, something I can get on board with Joe Biden about. Oh, that was just terrific, wonderful. Congratulations to the Bucks to being able to do that. Nobody's gone to the White House since, I think they said, 2017 when the Patriots went, when old orange guy was president there. And I remember they caught some flack for that boy for daring to go. And then, you know, COVID happened. I think the Chiefs, who was 2018's Super Bowl champion? 2018 Super Bowl champ was the Philadelphia Eagles. Well, they didn't go. I didn't know that. The Philadelphia Eagles, dear God. I had no idea. Totally forgot about that. And they beat the Patriots 41-33. 2019, obviously, was the Kansas City Chiefs. Then right after that, COVID happened, so they didn't go to the White House either. And then we got a new president, and it's fine to go to the White House again because the guy that the media likes is in, and all is forgiven. And if you don't go, in fact, you're an anti-American now. Remember, there was the guy from the Boston Bruins, the goalie, who didn't go when President Obama was in office, and he just got, oh boy, just trounced in the media, and of course hinted that maybe he's racist because he didn't go see the black president. And that's all just normal now. You know, now we're used to that. That's just water off everybody's backs now to be accused of something like that. But it's a thing that happens, and good. I'm glad that the Bucks win. I think it's kind of stupid that they go. I don't understand why sports teams need to be involved in going to see the president, but they are. So glad that Tom and the team went and got to be in the White House and enjoy. I don't think they got their fast food feast like the Clemson Tigers got when President Trump was in there when Clemson won the national championship. But I'm sure they got some good stuff and plenty of vaccines, I'm sure, to go around. I'm sure they're happy to jab them up if they weren't vaccinated yet. So congrats to the Bucks. 813-693-2124. HMBRadio.com. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast. Sometimes I put extra things on the feed that may not be available on Radio St. Pete or Sunshine 96.7. So go do that and check out the news section of HMBRadio.com. I've been trying to put up news stories short, sweet, to the point. Nothing that's going to, you know, take up too much of your time. You get the info and you leave. So I read the stories, I summarize them for you. and then you can go about your day. Please do share that stuff. You know, that really helps on Facebook at HMB Radio, Hotel Mike Bravo Radio, all one word. Follow Radio St. Pete while you're there. Follow the Johnny B Show, which I'm on 9 to midnight with my friend Johnny B on 102.5 The Bone here in Tampa Bay. Always available at theboneonline.com. And also a podcast, Clip of the Day, for the Johnny B Shows on iTunes, Spotify, all that good stuff. Just search for the Johnny B Show Clip of the Day. HMB Radio Store. If you haven't yet, go purchase yourself a hat, a shirt, a hoodie, something that you can wear with HMB Radio on it. I'd appreciate it. Store's only going to be up for a little while longer, and go get it while the getting's good. It's cheap, good quality stuff. I wear my hoodie all the time. It's great. You'll love it. If you don't want to make that sort of commitment, you can always head over to hmbradio.com/donate. There's a Venmo, PayPal, Cash App. If you're enjoying the program and would like to contribute that way, very much appreciated. And many of you have done that, and I thank you very much. Now, this is an unpopular opinion, I'm sure, but protesting is stupid, and it does really nothing at all. Nothing at all. The city of St. Petersburg, Mayor Kreisman, got together with a few mentally ill people, and they went down to downtown and shouted slogans and made signs that were very strange and kind of scary and hinted at mental illness to me a little bit. There's a woman wearing roller skates and she had a sign that looked like it was done by a 2-year-old. I understand if you don't have artistic ability, that's something that's, you know, kind of God-given or universe-given, whatever you want to call it, genetics, whatever. But my God, just go with a simple piney point. Boo, mosaic, stinks, something like that, you know, and just black, you know, bold letters on a white sign. That works fine. I'm going to put it as the header for this podcast, actually, so you can go see it at hmbradio.com/news. That will be the header for this podcast. Very strange. But Mayor Kreisman and some people got together and went and yelled downtown at people trying to enjoy their day while red tide ravages the Tampa Bay area. It's really bad down there. I went down to the water the other day, and I know that they're really working hard, the city is, to try to keep, you know, the fish off the shores and out of the canal, but it's really bad down there in St. Pete. They've requested assistance from the state. The state has declined, so they decided to get some sort of protest together. Now, I should say, when I say that protesting doesn't work, I think it can work. But you have to go yell and protest at the places where people are responsible for the thing that you're upset about. You know what I mean? You can't go down to the pier and yell at families because they have no political power. They have no will. They have no, they can't do anything for you. You're just making them uncomfortable. That's what it's about. It shouldn't be. You shouldn't be making your neighbors uncomfortable. You should be making people in power uncomfortable. And if you were to go to Mosaics, the owner of the Piney Point, pond that overspilled, the overflow facility for their product that they created there, if you were to protest outside of Mosaics headquarters, I would say, okay, now we're talking. Now we're talking. If you want to protest police brutality, if you got the police station, okay, now we're talking. But to just go and harass your neighbors, to go into neighborhoods, no. That's not cool. It's stupid. It's a waste of time. You're being a dick, and you're not getting anything done. So they went and yelled at people at the pier. Then I don't know how that this was, I guess, last Saturday they did this. I don't know how you don't have a constant smile on your face just with the irony that we just see every day. A few days after that protest, around 1,300 gallons of raw sewage went into Smacks Bayou around Eden Isles down here in St. Petersburg. It's in the Shore Acres neighborhood, which is just getting beat up by the red tide, probably from Piney Point, that spill from earlier this year. Red tide's also a naturally occurring phenomenon. Maybe it's just a bad year, but it seems awfully suspect that after this, you know, leak that went into the bay, that the bay is just getting just ravaged by this red tide. And, you know, News Channel 8 went down there, and they asked, you know, how the hell this happened. And St. Pete City officials said that the wastewater was discharged due to a mechanical failure literally a few days after they're, you know, protesting the red tide. The city said the hard surfaces were exposed and they've been disinfected and signs have been placed. And like the 280 million gallons of toxic radioactive waste into the bay wasn't bad enough. That's what one person replied, referencing the spill at Piney Point. Piney Point spill discharged an estimated 215 million gallons of contaminated water into Tampa Bay. Jesus. News Channel 8 is working hard, yeah, to find out what happened. Ben Kirby, my old buddy Ben, he used to do the City Hall podcast with, he says that we take any spill seriously with the understanding of the impact it has in our environment. That's why we notify the citizens. You can find these notifications on our website. With respect of how it will take to determine the course of the main break, all information we know is up to date in the report. Just 10 days ago, Tampa released 2,700 gallons of wastewater into a ditch due to a grease blockage. This month in Lakeland, a manhole overflowed, which overwhelmed the sanitary sewer system, and 75,000 gallons of wastewater spilled into a drainage ditch. Pinellas County also released more than 4,000 gallons of industrial reuse water around Whedon Island due to a fire, water leak. What? According to the Florida Department of Environmental Protection. In St. Petersburg, there are caution signs in place for people to warn them about the spill, and cleanup and repairs are underway. Oy vey, Izmir. Also, you know, I know the city is working hard with this. The city of St. Petersburg has allocated around 200 employees to cleaning up dead sea life. Crews have been working every day for the last month to clear dead fish and other marine life from waters. This does not include county cleanup crews, contracted crews, or other groups organizing the cleanup efforts. Because of the city is pulling crews and teams from other areas in both parks and recreation and public works, the city of St. Pete said residents can anticipate seeing some impact in the following areas. Parkland mowing will be reduced, district trash cleanup and program reduced, equipment shortage, like loaders and dump trucks need to carry all that fish, equipment operator shortage, delayed playground replacement, delayed parkland construction. Natural and Cultural Division has been reassigned to focus on that. Median care and cleanup, lake weed and algae management, lake debris, ditch maintenance, alley maintenance and repair, street sweeping, sidewalks, curb and gutter, stripping, routine sign replacement. Don't expect any of that stuff if you're in the city of St. Petersburg anytime soon, because I've seen some stories that this red tide is going to last quite a while. I've heard anywhere from a few weeks to a year or perhaps more. So, God, I hope this gets figured out soon. I know businesses are suffering, you know, anywhere from fishing charters to people, you know, just restaurants and bars out on the beach there. And, of course, the animal life is suffering. Our environment's suffering. It's crumbling. Infrastructure's crumbling. Everything's crumbling. We, you know, who knows what that dumping of just the wastewater alone did. But aside from Piney Point, oh, my God. What a disaster. What a mess. Stop moving here. Don't tell your friends to move here. Just say it smells like dead fish. Don't move here. Please, God, we had enough. 813-693-2124, hmbradio.com.
The Homemade Broadcast is on RadioSaintPete.com.
Anna, you got a phone call on the HMB radio line.
I did.
And they just wanted to know what song was at the beginning of your podcast, which I did tell her. I messaged her back personally.
As me?
I said, no. I said, this is Will, just so you know. But the song is Gary Clark Jr., Rolling.
Something Rolling.
Rolling
Stone.
Something, yeah. Stone,
something. It's a great song.
Yeah, it's good. So she was very happy to have that information, and now right. She's a Gary Clark fan because of you.
Nice. Cool. Hopefully she listened to the talking part, but
yeah,
she just got a cool song out of it. That's cool too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and yeah, feel free to use that line, utilize it for either of us, 813-693-2124. I had a busy week professionally. I hosted a 3-hour show by myself in its entirety. Thank you. And I was telling you just before we started, that was one of those things where, you know, imposter syndrome's real, where you mm-hmm. don't really know if this is what you're supposed to be doing. And right. then I can run a radio show by myself, no problem.
Totally alone.
Totally alone, which is a lot of...
Self-sufficient.
Yeah, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that people don't see, you know, producing-wise mm-hmm. and computer systems.
Calls.
Yeah, all that
stuff.
And
it's one of those things where a lot of times those things are easy by themselves, but then all together it is a juggling act, so...
Oh, my God, yeah. But I just thrived in that scenario, and it made me kind of not... Oh, I don't know. What's the word for it? But everybody that has all these people on their shows, I'm just like,
please. You're a one woman show.
You don't need
show.
That. Yeah. Please. I could do this by myself, okay? Not bragging, but a little bit I am bragging.
Yeah. And as you should. You should be proud of yourself.
I was. I really was. It was a good feeling, and I'm glad that I did it. You told me a saying. What is the saying?
The saying is, it's not going to be a good experience, but it's going to be good experience.
And that's what it was. Although I will say, I had a blast when I was...
Yeah, once you're in it, you're good, but usually the anticipation is unpleasant.
That's the killer. Waiting all day, you know, I'm sitting at my day job, just thinking about this 3 hours.
Sure.
That are totally on me to kill. Mm-hmm. I can't just, you know... Well, you do BS. You know, when you're by yourself, it's very caller intensive. Callers at night tend not to be the best, and they're not even that great during the day, frankly,
sure.
a lot of the time.
But sometimes maybe they don't come in. Like, I'm sure, you know, working at the Bone, we had a few regulars that we could kind of rely on, but 3 hours of that, you don't know if there's going to be people calling in the entire time. So you got to be just ready with content, ready to go in hand. So.
Yeah, and I did. I over-prepare.
No.
You know, I don't get to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't get to a quarter of the stories that I put in the prep each day, especially because I do all that too. Mm-hmm. And on the show that I'm on, I do everything. And I've told that to Johnny B before. He goes, oh, yeah. Okay. And then we just kind of just move on from there.
Okay.
But yeah, so that was a good feeling. And I know that you had you're doing this podcast, you're co-host of the Bubble Love Sponge show.
I hosted
you have another
four times
podcast.
This week.
You hosted four times this week. That's just crazy. Because you didn't know.
You see it in my face.
You didn't
I feel
know
like
that
I went to war.
You didn't know that it was happening most of the time.
Day one was like, hey, we're doing a show and you're hosting. We start in 4 minutes. I'm like, oh, cool. Where's the intro? Where's the outro? How do we go to break again? So now I got it, baby. I'm rolling, baby. It's good.
Yeah. And that's one of the. It really is just reps.
Yeah.
And the more you do it, the more you get comfortable with it. I was talking to TM Powell, who's a media critic in Tampa Bay area. He calls into the show and tells us about what movies he's seen. And I sent him his segment that me and him did just alone.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, you know, giving me props about how much more comfortable I sound. And I really do. I didn't have that feeling of vomiting, you know, on my way to work, which is... intense, you know, the first few times. I know you've had that when we started Stay Woke.
Oh, for 6 weeks. I felt like I was going to die.
Yeah.
I think I would have like a bowel movement every day for 6 weeks because I would just get knots in my stomach, run to the bathroom, let the demons out and do it. And I think I remember the first day that didn't happen. And I go, I think we're turning a corner.
Yeah. Yeah. It's terrifying. That was 1 hour.
Yeah.
I mean, 1 hour
and
now.
I prep for an hour for that hour.
Yeah.
Now I prep, I just have stories, but I mean, I used to have a story with like 10 leading questions. I don't do that anymore. Those are days of the past. But that's, you know, showing that you're advancing. You can kind of go with the flow.
Yeah. It's one of those things like, am I just being lazy or am I just getting better? You know, and don't need that much prep anymore.
I would say more of the latter.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to. You're more efficient is what you are. I wouldn't say lazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's good to see our progression and both.
I also need to give props to my team because you did it alone. I did not do it alone.
Right, right.
Which sometimes is easier and harder. There's pros and cons because I kind of got to manage the circus. And a lot of people that work at the Bubble Love Sponge show, myself included, are a little unhinged, you know.
Yeah.
So you kind of got to draw these people back in and make sure that, you know, we're all going together in unison in one direction. And it's not just... you know, once the king is gone, there's kind of a power vacuum. So you kind of got to take the reins. You know, as the person that can shut off the mic, you have to take reins of the show.
Yes. Yeah. 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 I'm sure that's. And I kind of like it just less chaotic.
Yes.
You know, two people I complain about it sometimes, but if I could have somebody else that just did not talk at all, that took phone calls and did all the production, that would be amazing.
That'd be great.
But, you know, because we have, you know, we have Kelly now on Wednesday nights, who used to be with Fisher, you know, friends of ours. And she, I like Kelly a lot, but she was even saying it's hard because she's only there one day a week. And Johnny and I have such a, like, flow that it's hard for her to know when to squeeze in. And that just takes time.
Yeah, it just takes time.
And she doesn't really have time because she's here one day a week.
Sure.
So, but that's nice when she's there and we can actually screen calls. And but at the same time, I can do it. I just, you know what? I can do it. I'd rather do it. I know how to do it, and I'm a control freak, so mm-hmm. able to do that. But you're doing, you know, that you co-hosted or hosted a big morning show four times this week. You're host of another podcast or co-host of another podcast, not with me.
Was.
What happened?
Well, Will, I've realized now I've probably been fired in my life about five or six times. All for different reasons. Uh-huh. And I was telling someone the other day, I never make the same mistake twice, but I just make a different mistake. Sometimes it's stealing produce. And then I go, okay, we can't do that. Sometimes,
not even produce, lettuce.
Okay, listen, they were going to throw it out anyways.
That's not even good produce.
Exactly, and they were going to throw it out anyways. But
there must have been another reason.
Right, I got Megyn Kelly'd, okay? I got Megyn Kelly'd. Yeah. There was the head chick there, this Asian chick. I think her name was Nancy. She didn't like me. She had it out for me from day one.
Or is her race important?
It's just what I remember about her. I just remember she was an Asian bitch because you don't really meet too many of those. You don't really meet bitchy Asian girls. Okay. You know what I mean? They're typically very nice, very respectful. Not this one. Uh-huh. She broke the stereotype, Will. She was a C word.
Nice.
So she had it out for me from day one. So I've been doing this podcast probably about for 4 months now. Met this guy online. That sounded weird when I'm like, met this guy online. No, we didn't bone or anything, but I met him online via All Access, which is a radio networking jobs, who's who, what's what of radio thing. It's where radio people connect.
All Access claims to be that, but I've scrounged and truffle hunted around that website before. It's an insane asylum. Most of the things on that message board are things, you know, I saw one thing and it said morning show producer. And then it's for an online station in Cleveland, Ohio. And it doesn't pay right now. It might pay in the future. When you build that audience, it might pay in the future. Mm-hmm. It's
basically a dating app. There's going to be a few gems, but most everything else is trash. I found the bone on there.
Okay.
So sometimes there's a legit job. And then you get fired. But anyways, so I was doing this podcast. I'm not going to name any names, but I was doing it with this guy for about 4 months. And probably about 6 weeks ago, he suggests that maybe we, like, get together in person.
Can I ask you, what was the was it about video games or something weird?
He was a gamer, but uh-huh. he wanted to do, like, a podcast, where like a talk show, essentially.
Okay.
And it'd be live, and it'd be on YouTube, and, I just gave it away where it was. But anyhow, not giving away any names.
I want to go back and watch these. Will you tell me off air what it is?
Yeah, of course. Okay. It was only audio only, because I refused to be on video camera, because I was usually just, like, in my bed with my eyes closed or on Bumble or something most of the time. Mm-hmm. But whatever. I was literally getting paid to lay in my bed, listen to a story, talk
How
a
much
bit.
Were you paid? Are you comfortable saying
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it was $15 an hour, and then he bumped it up to $18. So
how long was the show?
Like an hour and a half a week, like nothing.
So you're getting paid like $22?
Yeah.
Whew, you're cheap.
I mean, I was literally doing it from the comfort of my bed. So yeah.
I would think your time would be more valuable, that $22 in time.
I mean, I was literally going to be on Instagram otherwise, like, or just YouTube or doing whatever. Okay. So, and it was just kind of nice because I would forget about it. And then I'd get a $100 check in the mail every month. Like, oh, cool. Whatever.
True that.
You know, so whatever. It's fine. So I'm doing it with this guy, and he goes, hey, you know, and obviously you get to know each other through just talking an hour and a half every single week. And I started learning really odd things about this person. He was completely unaffected by the pandemic because he hasn't left his house in 8 years.
Uh-huh.
And I go, what do you mean? I'm like, well, you go to the grocery store, you see people. He goes, no, I don't. I get Instacart. And I'm like, well, you go here to do this, right? And he goes, no, I don't. I haven't seen my dad in 12 years. And I go, well, you got to see your sister. I haven't talked to her in 20. So all of his contacts, all of his social people who are in a social circle are completely online. Even his best friend, who he would talk about frequently, as if they had just seen each other, he hadn't seen this person in 8 years, and they lived 2 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
Ridiculous.
So he's mentally ill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he lived, I found out where he lived and saw it on satellite imaging, and it's deep in the woods.
Mm.
In a small town in Virginia. Mm-hmm. I mean, the guy has to walk almost a quarter mile to his mailbox, okay? He wanted me to come visit him and stay in his house.
Mm-hmm.
That was his suggestion.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you know, because we were talking about D.C., and I, you know, casually mentioned, oh, I've never been to D.C., you know. I don't have a pressing need to go, but I feel like as an American at some point in my life, I should probably visit the capital of the country.
Great city.
Yeah, never been. So I mentioned that, and he goes, you've never been to D.C.? I go, no. He goes, well, you should go. Maybe we could go.
Huh? Now he was prepared to leave his house for you.
Huh? Right. So he goes, well, you know, yeah, you could stay here. I need a few months to kind of spruce the place up. I'm like, you
oh,
need a
boy.
Few months? So you're a hoarder.
He had, that means he had like jars of pee under his bed and yeah. stuff like that.
Yeah. Not good. Not great. So I'm very honest with him and I just say, listen, I don't really feel comfortable doing that. I don't really know you. I'm not going to stay at your house. Then he kind of backpedaled. He's like, no, you would stay like a hotel somewhere and we would just meet up and go to the city. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm going home barely once a year to see my family. I'm not going to see a dude that I don't know, that I'm not trying to date, you know, nothing like that. So I go, yeah, but if you want to come here like for like a day and like have lunch or something, that we could do that. Thinking he would never do it because he hasn't left his house in 8 years.
Right, right.
Mofo's trying to book a flight.
Wow.
He was going to book a flight, Will.
Mm, yeah.
He's telling me, he goes, I don't know how to book a flight because I've never booked one before. I go, what? He goes, yeah, I've been looking at flights. I got this guy. He's going to cover for me for one day. I'm going to fly in on like a Saturday morning.
Can we cover for him where?
From his... I don't know if online somehow he's going to just cover. He has to do some like traffic reports or whatever. So we got a guy to cover for him and he's telling me I don't have a date set, but it's going to be really soon. This is what he told me last Wednesday. So about a week ago, I got a guy who's going to cover for me. So all I got to do is figure out how to book a flight. If it was any friend of mine, I would have been like, oh, I'll book it for you. I got it. But I was just like, oh no. I go, you'll figure it out. I start freaking out. He tells me he wants to come in on a Saturday morning, spend the day together, and then leave Saturday night. Like, that's what he's going to be in and out in one day.
Oh, I bet he's going to be in and out, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hail to
like
the
this.
Not. Yeah, I got it. I got it the first. Thank
sex.
You. That's cool. Yeah, sex. So he tells me this, and I start freaking out because I'm like, this guy's going to come here. And
oh,
I
he's going to come. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. He's going to come.
Sex.
He's going to come to visit me.
Yeah.
Right. And I start freaking out. Because I didn't think he was actually going to do it. But now he's thinking about it. Now he's going to book it. And I have this thing, I think it's called Jew guilt, where, you know, if I said I was going to do something and someone made a, you know, a booked a flight, there's no way I can cancel on you. So I got to get to him before he gets to the flight.
Yeah.
So 2 days ago, I go, I got to cancel this. I was talking to a friend at work and he's like, you got to cut the cord like now because this guy's going to book a flight. So I just said to him, hey, I hate to be the bearer of bad news. I started seeing somebody, and they're just not comfortable with us meeting up.
Oh, that's smart.
I hope you understand. I didn't say anything about, like, I don't want to work together anymore. I didn't say you're a creep, you're whatever. So I sent that thinking he's going to be bummed, but he's going to be like, well, you know, we'll
I get
just do
it.
The show.
Yeah.
He calls me about an hour before the show. I answer, and he just goes, like, he has a tremor in his voice. His voice is trembling, and he's just like, oh, I'm going to cancel the show tonight. I'm like, okay. He goes, I will pay you for it, though, because you did the prep. I said, okay. And he goes, and I'm also canceling the show from here on out. We're not going to work together anymore. And I go, okay. And he goes, if you want the episodes, they're going to be up for about a week. If you want to grab them. But other than that, I'm taking them down, and we will no longer be working together. And I just said, okay. And he just said, bye. I said bye.
And that was it.
That was it.
I haven't talked to him since.
Got fired.
Got fired.
Fired for being too hot.
He broke his heart.
Now, here's the thing. Went on the YouTube channel. He went live anyways. And he's like telling his listeners what happened.
Oh, boy.
And he was saying that, like, I was attracted to this woman. She ended up dating somebody else. I canceled the show. I'm very hurt. I wish that she was dating me, but it's little does he know that person doesn't even exist.
Oh, yeah,
I'm
right.
Single as hell right now. So, yeah, I got fired for being too hot and charming, Will.
Never wow.
Never fired for that before.
What does this man look like?
I saw a video of him from 94, and that's all that
so
I have.
So you don't even know?
I just saw a video of him from 94, yeah.
That's interesting. That's an interesting phenomenon, because it's not totally unheard of where people fall in love online now. You know, there's aside from mail order brides or, you know, there's other things, but people just sometimes will chit chat. They meet, you know, they met in a chat room and, you know, sparked a relationship over a period of time and not even potentially romantically, but even friends. I saw a story about this guy that met his buddy on Xbox and they would play video games together and they never met and they would like talk every day and then they chronicled their meeting. For the first time.
Were they, like, in the same country?
They were, like, no. Well, they were in the same... They were in the United States. Oh, okay. But different states, and they had to take a plane, you know, to get to each other, and one of them visited, and it was kind of like a cool thing, because they were kindred spirits mm-hmm. that met through this medium that mm-hmm. is pretty new.
And they would have never met otherwise.
They would never met otherwise.
Yeah.
But it is the... You know, it sounds like you were hanging out with a mentally ill person and he doesn't have any contact with anybody. And it was a lady that he was talking to and he fell in love with you.
This is his entire social world is online. So yeah. it's no surprise that he fell for someone that had a few things in common mm-hmm. with him. He was an odd man, but of course you would be odd if you haven't left your house in 8 years and you had no. I was like, when was the last time you saw someone in person and had lunch? And he goes, I don't remember the last time I went to a restaurant. Like, okay, that's not healthy. And then he was giving me a rundown, because when people tell me odd things, I don't just take it at face value. I dig in deeper.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I put the lab coat on. That's when I start, you know, taking notes. What the hell? Yeah, do you see people in person? He goes, well, you know, the only person I see in person is the person that drops off my groceries. And we chat a little. And I go, really? He goes, yeah. You know, I'm like, hey, how's your day? Yeah, great. Okay, bye. I'm like, that is your only person-to-person contact? He goes, yeah, that's just why would I leave my house? And it kind of got me thinking that, like, as bizarre as that is to me and you, I know that a lot of people live like this. He was so unaffected by the pandemic, he never had to wear a mask once because he never left.
It was just his life.
Same thing for him.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting? And really scary.
Yeah, more scary than interesting. That's unique. Yeah, I want to listen to one of these shows with you and him.
I want to, all afterwards, I will play you the, when he was playing GTA, and he was talking
to... How old is he?
53, I found out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
And that's probably more common than not anymore.
He didn't sound 53, if mm-hmm. that makes sense.
Yeah.
Not trying to justify, like, you know, I was attracted.
Does he have a big following online?
Here's the thing. If you go on his YouTube, he has like 476,000 subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
But when he does live stuff, he has like 18 or 19 viewers.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking that, I don't know if he paid for those or they're bots or something, but it doesn't add up.
Yeah. Yeah, you would have at least, if you had that many, you'd have, at least.
Yeah, and I was watching him live yesterday playing a video game while he was talking about me without mentioning my name, and he had 17 or 18 people listening. Mm-hmm. And what was so sad is he was really upset, and he was talking about how sad he was, and there's like a running chat, like a side column, and no one was asking him about it. Like, people were just like, oh, cool move, dude. And like, he'd just be like, I'm so sad. And they're like, did you just use tear gas? Like, how did you get that hooker? Like,
oh my God.
So like, everyone was just completely ignoring the fact that he was playing the game to avoid, you know, killing himself in the bathroom.
Right, right.
And none of the listeners cared.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a bummer.
They just kept talking about random stuff about the game.
That's what they cared about. Yeah, they don't really care about the commentary. No. That's a weird thing, man, that people just watch people play video games. It's a bizarre. But is it that much weirder than watching somebody play football? Is it any different?
I mean, I guess not, because I guess they're, I mean, it is and it's not, in the sense that it's a skill. I guess if you played the game, like, of the video game, and you appreciated how hard some moves were,
yeah,
I'm not, this is how I play extreme video games. To me, it's like, well, it's two buttons. What are you doing?
I don't know.
But, you know, it's something that you appreciate the difficulty and the skill in. So when you watch other people do cool stuff, it's probably more entertaining. Whereas, like, I'm just like, video games to me are boring in and of themselves. Why would you watch someone play?
But you feel that way about sports too, right?
I do.
Yeah.
And because most of the sports I've never played before, and I never, the main thing is I didn't grow up with them. Mm-hmm. But I do like sports where it's just very obvious to see, like, wow, this is human excellence. Like, for example, mm-hmm. the Olympics, track and field. You go, oh my God, that human being just ran the 100 meters in less than 10 seconds. That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
I wish, and I know a lot of people say this, I don't even mean it as a joke, but I wish they had, like, an average person running alongside them. So you could just kind of get a reference for how fast these people really are.
Yeah.
Just a point of reference to be like, oh, that's Joe Schmo, 40, pretty fit. He's running it in 15 seconds, and this guy ran it in half that time.
Like, that's the ESPN did that many years ago at the NFL Combine, which is where prospects go, and they run the 40-yard dash. They do the bench press. They just get their physicality, basically, in number form. And they had the commentators run, and then they transpose that against, like, the fastest guy. So it was just an ordinary dude, you know, running the 40 in 5.3 seconds. And then they had, you know, a kid that's 19 years old that runs it in 4.42, which you don't think, like, 4.2 and 5.2 is a big difference, but it's a big difference, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And it was funny watching them side by side to see that physicality
because
on display.
Because then you can really appreciate how good and talented these players are.
Yeah.
So maybe it's like that, watching video games. I think it's boring. I think it's probably the last thing the human mind needs is to play, you know, be in front of a screen more than we already are.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I agree.
So, but that's just me. So that's what's going on now.
I'm glad that you brought up, or that we started talking about sports, because the only thing I really wanted to talk to you about, and I know everybody's burnt out, you know, on COVID, but the big story this week was the NFL is going to start fining teams if they're not. So there was a coach for the Vikings.
They're made to forfeit.
Right.
Okay.
Penalized. They're going to be, if there's some sort of COVID outbreak and they're not vaccinated. A coach from the Vikings was fired this week because he's not going to get the vaccine. There's a narrative going on in news that it's a bunch of hayseeds, you know, moron. MAGA hat wearing Goombas that are not getting the vaccine. And now you have players like DeAndre Hopkins and the Buccaneers' Leonard Fournette. There was another Buccaneer today, I didn't even recognize his name, so he doesn't play very much. He's a corner, like a fifth string corner or something, that are very vaccine hesitant. Leonard Fournette said, "I can't do it," about the vaccine, quickly deleted tweet, by the way. You know, the Buccaneers went to the White House this week. Bruce Arians and Joe Biden urged people to go get vaccinated. And it sounds like there's not a semblance of the whole team unity of getting vaccinated. People are still concerned about it. And I don't know if Leonard Fournette is going to get vaccinated now. And what... I know they want him to, but does he have to?
It goes back to the, you know, it's a private enterprise. If these are the rules of your employer and they say, you know, you're not going to go to jail, but you can't play for us unless you get vaccinated, does the organization, does the league have that right? I mean, I think I would say yes, right? Like, if your employer's like, listen, this is our policy, you know, this is what you're going to do. I don't know. But, like, we kind of mentioned before, you know, a lot of these players aren't the white variety, and so you can't, if you start going after all of them, that's a bad look for the league too.
Looks bad. Yeah.
So,
well, there was a player, Cole Beasley, who was white,
okay,
and he just got through the ringer, and he expressed his
anti-vax or anti COVID vax
anti yes he said that he was not going to be getting the COVID vaccine.
Okay.
And if he had to retire because of it, he would. And he did this about 6 weeks ago. And then the league made this statement about teams potentially having to forfeit games and being penalized. And then some other players started coming out and saying, you know, I don't know if I want to do this, and I might retire.
Back off.
And there's kind of been some like, I don't know what to, they don't know what
good
to do now.
It'll
there's
just
a
dissipate. It'll disappear.
Full court press. In literally in media to scare the hell out of people to get vaccinated. There is just my timeline, my Twitter timeline is just filled with vaccine stuff and, you know, people who are begging. See, this is a thing with Twitter, too. This is why they want to shut it down, because there's people, and I don't mean this as a slur. I've gotten yelled at for using this word before, but I don't mean it as a slur, but people with autism that will research these things that people throw out there and can find answers really quickly.
Yeah.
So the one story that I saw was an Alabama doctor who had to tell dying patients that it was too late to give them the vaccine. And she said she did this multiple times, I guess. And
I saw the headline. I didn't read it.
And somebody on Twitter found what county she was in, and they had 3 COVID deaths in like the past month or something. So it's hyperbolic at best and maybe a complete fabrication at worst. And, you know, media just runs with it because that's the narrative that they've all decided that they're going with. I'm agnostic on the vaccination front. My doctor has COVID right now, fully vaccinated. Tampa Bay Lightning anthem singer, Sonya Sings.
She's in the hospital, right?
She's in the hospital. She has MS. She's immunocompromised.
And she got the vaccine?
Fully vaccinated. And now they're saying that she got it at one of the Stanley Cup games from somebody who was unvaccinated. I don't know how they know that, but...
Why should that matter? If she's vaccinated.
The idea is that... Well, she got it from someone who was unvaccinated is what the narrative is.
Being vaccinated doesn't even offer you protection. Well, what's the point of being vaccinated?
Well, it does.
Just with some people.
Like, maybe you won't die. You might get sick, but you won't die.
Chance efficiency.
Like, I asked my doctor about it today because he's fully vaccinated. I go, wow, you're fully vaxxed and you're down right now. He goes, well, it's still better than not having it. I won't die.
And it could take the edge off or whatever.
Yeah. Listen. And I'm so... Man, I'm so back and forth on these things. I want to go get I have antibodies still, as far as I know, and I had it in October, but I need to go get another test. It's been about a month since I got my last test.
I'm Leonard Fournette. Is that his name?
Leonard Fournette, yeah.
I'm him. I'm not getting it, ever.
Not getting it.
Ever.
Well, that was a story that came out today was, you know, their full court press by press to make this happen. I think it's going to have the opposite effect because... the people who haven't gotten a shot right now are not going to get it.
No.
In AP News today, they had the study or the poll that they just don't trust it, and they don't think it offers protection against the variants. And, you know, so we're going to come to a big head here as far as liberty in America. This is going to be a big test because either you're going to have to force people to get it with a barrel of a gun pointed at their head.
Or just make it extremely inconvenient to do anything.
Well, that's the other risk. So you're going into an apartheid state where you're going to have a class system of people who have passes to get into certain places, and some people won't be able to go to certain places. And they're happily doing that in Europe, but this is America. Mm. It's a little different.
Land of the free, home of the brave.
Yeah.
So we thought.
Which is interesting, too, because... A lot of people that just scream, you know, get the vaccine at the top of their lungs are totally okay with a very strict authoritarian perspective on this. We're good. If you don't have the pass to get vaccinated, then good. You can't go out to eat. Good. You're not vaccinated. These are also the people who squeal about authoritarianism and fascism in this country that we were under a fascist dictator for 4 years. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if they see it and just don't care, which I think might be the case, but you know, everybody's got their own things that they're hypocritical about. I know I have, I'm sure I have some of those things.
I try to be consistent as well, but initially I was not going to get the vaccine just because we're still technically in clinical trials. So at first it was about, the priority was my health. Now it's my health, but even more so it's principle. Principle. I work with a doctor. I on the air, not like, you know, doing lab work, but I work with a doctor, and he's been looking at a lot of stuff. I've been looking at a lot of stuff. There were repurposed drugs that are helping people. I know I've sent this to you. I was listening to Brett Weinstein, The Enigma of Africa, ivermectin, which a lot of those people were already on ivermectin, which prevents parasitic infections.
Yeah.
Most of Africa, again, people died. It's not like it was zero, but most of Africa was like kind of okay in relation to like first world countries like the US, like Italy. Those places were just going like crazy. India, not great, but Africa was by and large fine. And they realized it was because all these people were already on ivermectin, so maybe they got it. A lot of them died, of course. You can't really prevent everybody, you know, save everybody's life. But for the most part, Africa was by and large pretty okay when it came to COVID, which is crazy because they have horrible healthcare. Most of the continent are third world countries, and their infrastructure is a mess, you know, and they don't have clean water. Like, they have all these other problems. I remember when COVID first broke out, I go, this is the end of Africa. And they're doing better than us. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Because they were all already on ivermectin. Yeah. So there's and Israel, some Israeli lab did a study where they looked at like 18 different repurposed drugs that were either like really effective or 100% cured every cell that had COVID that they tested in the lab. So then you go, people knew this. And purposely didn't use it. So, you know, it was probably created in a lab, right, Wuhan? Let's just give them the benefit of the doubt. It was not released on purpose. It escaped by accident, whatever. Okay, they know this. Then, you know, China lies, which, of course, China lies about the transmission. It gets out. Then they lie. Then they said it comes from the Wuhan wet market, right? No, it's not because of gain-of-function research, which they were using U.S. tax dollars. It was an accident. It was nature. We can't get mad at the hurricane if it just happens. This sort of stuff just happens, right? Okay, so we know all this. Then they know that things like hydroxychloroquine, like remdesivir, like ivermectin, all these things are helpful and useful in treating this thing, and they purposely sit on treatment and cure because there's no money in a repurposed drug where the patents have expired. That's sick, and that is disgusting that they let people die because there was no money to be made from them. And for that reason, I'll never get the vaccine.
Okay, I mean, that's fair, and I accept that point of view, and I'm agnostic on those drugs too. You know, I've seen some things that yes, it's a miracle, and other ones that say nah, they don't really do anything. I don't know what to believe anymore. I if I see something online, I don't know if it's a joke, literally anymore.
That's fair,
and I think that might be the point where you just don't believe in anything anymore, and you just go, it's just easier to buy into whatever the news and the regime is telling me because, but even though you know that they're full of crap, I mean, there's been so many things that were misinformation lab leak 3 months ago that are now just like, yeah, we pretty much, I was talking about it in April, 2020 when this first went down. I mean, it just made more sense that it would be a lab leak rather than
when everyone is pushing one narrative and it was very confusing. Everything was very up in the air. And I remember, and I'm almost embarrassed, but again, like, we all kind of were on the same page because we didn't know. I was one of the people that were calling, you know, the spring breakers grandma killers. I'm like, stay home, you're hurting people, you know, whatever. That changed the day after George Floyd died and people took to the streets and the nurses applauded them and Fauci refused to condemn them and say, this is dangerous, we're all going to get COVID. He refused to say that. In that moment, I go, this is a wash. I'm not scared anymore. This is BS. I'm not calling anybody a grandma killer anymore. They clearly don't care about American lives. They clearly don't care about anybody's life. And they're willing to let people die so that they could virtue signal. So this isn't a real thing. Goodbye. I'm going to go live my life now.
That was a big eye opener.
That was the biggest turning point maybe of my life, honestly. Honestly, to be so scared of something and then the next week applauding people for gathering in the streets when they were shunning people and ridiculing people and calling them pigs for trying to go to work.
Yep. That was shocking. And
it was over.
So, and that's the thing too. There's no accountability on their end where, oh man, maybe we messed up with messaging here and maybe we should have, you know, if this virus was as bad as it was, they say it is, we shouldn't have been out at all.
No, because the virus isn't woke. The virus doesn't really care what you're protesting for. Yeah. If it's for racial justice or whatever, I don't think the virus cares and goes, you know, I'm going to take today off.
Yeah, so there's so many things. You brought up, too, the administration, go get vaccinated. It's so important you get vaccinated. But Kamala Harris said in a debate and that Cuomo. She wouldn't trust, and Cuomo said that they wouldn't trust a vaccine that came from Donald Trump. She is the worst politician ever. She gives Hillary Clinton a run for her money. She is a buffoon.
And then Cuomo didn't say, I don't trust this administration. He goes, I don't trust the federal government.
Ah.
He said federal government. Mm-hmm. And then a month later, when his guy is in office, totally changes his tune and gets jabbed in his arm.
And I mean, come on. This is just so easy. This is an easy fix with this, too. But it's they're playing politics. It's supposedly the grown-ups are in charge now. Thank God the grown-ups are back in the building and they're here to save the day. Joe Biden, I'm going to shut down the virus, not the country. Now we're talking about mask mandates again. Mitch McConnell is even saying, of all people, if you don't get vaccinated,
he's gross looking. Hey,
he's a hurdle the turtle. He's a mess. So gross. He's the head swamp creature. Him and Nancy Pelosi have been in power for so long.
I know.
They're fusing into the ground of the Capitol building. It's a mess. And there's never any accountability from them. It's all, you know, everybody else's fault. The hayseeds that won't get vaccinated, even though you look at data and there's a lot of different variety of people who are not of all races and creeds that are not getting vaccinated.
Yep.
But the narrative is the hayseed moron MAGA people.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there's never any accountability for that. You know who could help right now get the vaccination numbers up?
Who?
Donald Trump.
Woo! Could.
And unfortunately, he doesn't have a platform anymore because he's been thrown offline.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if Joe Biden called up. Now, this is a big ask, I know. But there's one thing about Donald Trump. He loves to be praised.
Mm-hmm.
So, and say what you will about, you know, I'm hesitant. I'm agnostic, I guess, let's say, about all this stuff. I don't know, and it freaks me out. It was supposedly a modern miracle that he allowed these scientists to do the job. Trump didn't do it. The scientists did it. The companies did it. But he pulled out all the stops of government interference to make this miracle, in quotes, happen.
Just expedite the process.
Expedited the process. But imagine if Joe Biden got up there and said, I called up former President Trump today, and, you know, he's here with me, and I wanted to say that, you know, thank you for all he did for helping get Warp Speed off the ground. What he started, we will finish, and I'd just like to thank him, blah, blah, blah. I think Trump would be like, thank you, Joe, and this is great. Go get vaccinated, everybody, and I bet you those numbers would jump up 20%.
I bet you're right. But again, he would rather let people die than not get reelected, you know?
But it's supposed to be all about getting shots in arms.
No,
that's the
well,
most
you're
important
silly boy.
Thing.
You're silly, I know. Silly boy. It's all
believe
about
me.
Getting reelected and staying in power.
Believe
he doesn't
me,
want
I know.
To lose votes because he befriended Donald Trump, whom he called the devil from hell.
You
can't befriend the devil, so you just got to let people die, Will. That's how it goes.
But and at the same time, you know, blaming the hayseeds who are not getting vaccinated, not the messaging. Michael Malas had a great tweet of, you know, it's not, it's hard to get people to do what you want when you call them subhuman garbage who deserve to be exterminated for 4 years. And
that's
now
right.
They won't listen,
yeah.
You know, it's just amazing. But I'm very curious about, you know, what's going to happen with the NFL this season. I go back and forth on, is this Delta variant a big deal? I don't know. It seems like people who are vaccinated are going down. I don't know what the hell to do. But it's a mess. 813-693-2124 if you want to share your thoughts with that, hmbradio.com. And Twitter. You're not very active on Twitter.
Nah,
but
I've kind of taken a step back from social media in general. But it's on Hummel Radio if you want to hit me up so I can ignore you, possibly.
And on Instagram, too.
And on
yeah.
Instagram. And I just want to say my body, my choice.
Hey, that's...
Can I say that?
You can.
It's my body.
I just want to say, I wanted to find a good way to end it. Home_made_man on Instagram and Twitter. My body, my choice. And on that positive note, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks, Anna. You can follow her at Anna Hummel Radio. You can follow me at home_made_man on Instagram and Twitter. Head over to hmbradio.com/store. Get yourself a hat or something. And you can always donate, too, if you don't want a hat. You don't have to, but it's available to you, hmbradio.com/donate. You can Venmo, PayPal, any of that stuff, if you want. Thanks for tuning in. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, stay tuned. Frank Rivera's Jazz Show is up next, followed by the Indie Circuit. If you listen on podcasts, thank you. Tell a friend about it. Retweet it. Share it. Really does help. My name is Will Koontz. This has been HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com and Sunshine, 96.7 FM. Have a good one. See ya.
You have found the Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.